Bayin Beis Amid Beis. We've already learned that a father is not going to be killed when he burglarizes his son, because it's not Zarchal of Hashemesh. We assume that the father has compassion on his son, and he would not kill his own son if the son confronted him to protect his possessions. Amar Rav called the Asi Eloi v'machtarta katil nole. Anyone who burglarizes me and digs a tunnel into my house under my wall, I will kill him. Lebar, with the exception, may Rav Chanina bar Shila. The exception is Rav Chanina bar Shila. In other words, with regard to Rav Chanina bar Shila, I know that he would not. He would not try to kill me if I confronted him. So he doesn't have the normal din of a bava machteres. Is hashkem laharagam my taima? So Gemara says, why is Rav Chanina bar Shila different? Ilei mishum de tzaddik. Well, wait a second. To call him a tzaddik would be very odd in this context, because Rav is assuming that Rav Chanina is the guilty one who's burglarizing his house. Haka'asi b'machtarta. He's the bava machteres. He's tunneling his way through. He can't call him a righteous person. A person who tunnels into someone's house and he's prepared to kill his balabayas, he's not exactly a classical tzaddik. Ella, but rather mishum de kimle begave de marachem ole. That I know about him, that he will have compassion on me, kirachem of al haben, just like a father would have compassion, so too he would have compassion. I'm not exactly sure why the Gemara felt that this had to be recorded. I'm not exactly sure why Rav had to give this particular case. Was that the only person? Maybe there was an exceptional love here between Rav Chanina and Rav, and therefore the Gemara wants to illustrate, and Rav wants to point out that in general it's the only exception to the rule really that we can talk about is a father and a son. Otherwise, it's always Zarchal of Hashemesh. We always assume that the Bav Machteres will in fact confront the and he's ready, prepared from the get-go to confront the Balabais if necessary and kill the Balabais. And you want to find an exception of someone that you think, even if he would tunnel into your house, he would not threaten your life. Well, it's very difficult to find. So the only exception I found, says Rav, is Rav Chanina. That's one in a billion. Tana Rabbana, we learned that the Brice is darshaning the plural of the word damim lo. In the Pasuk, it says damim lo. And that's the case in Zarchal of Hashemesh, that he's at peace with you, you know that he's not going to kill you. Let's say, for example, the father breaks in to his son's house, then the Torah says, damim, damim lo. Then we have to account for his life, and we're not allowed to kill him. So what's the plural here of damim? Why damim lo? I could have said dam lo. Is bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. That means that he cannot be killed whether or not he was tunneling on a weekday or on a Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means, to tell you that it's forbidden even if he breaks in on Shabbos. What's that all about? And then the sefer of this brisa darshins the pasuk ein lo damim. That's the case where the regular classical case of a bava machteres is ein lo damim. Again, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, which means you're allowed to kill the bava machteres whether or not it's a weekday or it's a Shabbos. That's your ordinary classical case of a bava machteres. And the use of the word damim appears here as well, indicating that you can kill him bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. So the Gemara says the following. Let's analyze this price. So Bishlema ain lo damim, in the case where his father broke in and you're not allowed to kill him, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, itzrich, I need this chiddush of bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. Why? Salka daitcha, I would have thought, midi dahavi, Aharugei Bezdin de Bishabis Lo Katlinon. So Bishlema, I'm sorry, Ein Lo Domin. I made a mistake if I said it was the father. This is Ein Lo Domin. We're going backwards here from the Sefer and up. So the Sefer is addressing a case of a classical, ordinary Bava Machteres is Ein Lo Domin. You're allowed to kill him. So you might think, well, you're allowed to kill him during the weekday, but to kill him on Shabbos would amount to a violation of a of Shabbos. And this is based on the Gemara Lamed Hey that and elsewhere in Masech to Shabbos that we don't carry out any Misas Bezdin on Shabbos. A special Iser of Onshim on Shabbos is Kamashwan de Katlinon. And the Chiddush here is that we do kill him, because here there's a whole other factor that comes to play, and that is the Hatzola of the Baal HaBayis. His life is at stake, again, considering the fact that the burglar from the get-go made a calculation that he's ready to kill the Baal HaBayis if need be. Ela domim lo, bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. You're telling me that if the father breaks into his house, he's not allowed to kill his father. What are you telling me, that he can't kill his father on Shabbos? Hashta b'cholo katlinan lei is a general universal look that you can't kill him because your father is not threatening your life. Is b'Shabbos mi boy? You have to tell me a special chiddush that on Shabbos you would, you would not kill him. What's going on over here? Amar Rav Sheshes lo nitzcha el fakech olav esagal. So this halacha of Chil Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. In other words, if a person Nebuch is buried, there was a collapse of a building, of a wall, and he's buried deep down under this debris, so that would be good for Chometz on Pesach, because then there's no violation of Bal Yerov Bal Yimotzei. It's not Nimtza if it's under a Gal. But here's a question of, can we violate the Shabbos to do Pikuach HaGal, even if we have no reason to assume that the person is still alive, but there is some sort of outside possibility, and we have to leave we cannot leave any stone unturned. So for the sake of Safek Pikuach Nefesh, no matter how small, statistically, and minimal that Safek is, we will violate the Shabbos. But here is a very funny case. The case is that the man was tunneling under a wall in order to burglarize someone's house, said it was Shabbos. Not a very nice thing to do, but again, maybe he was desperate. And now the wall collapses over him, and his life is certainly in danger. We don't even know if he's still alive. And it would entail violating the Shabbos in order to be mefakech, in order to remove all the stones that have fallen on him, and would we do so for the sake of this Baba Machteres? And as a general rule, the answer would be, well, you know what, this man came by Machteres, and we want to assume that maybe he's still alive. But what does that mean, still alive? He's still breathing. Well, that's biologically he might be still alive. But al pidin, the halacha is that since we're allowed to kill him at the time of the break-in, therefore he's considered mess. So that's what this pasuk wants to say, that damim lo, if we're dealing with a case of a father who came in to burglarize his son, damim lo, he's still considered damim, a bar damim. He's still considered alive. He's not considered mess. And therefore, we can be mefakech olav es hagal, and we can violate the Shabbos in order to potentially save his life, possibly save his life, even though he was above a machteres. He doesn't deserve shishi or shlishi for being above a machteres, but on the other hand, yeshlo damim, damim lo. And therefore, again, if you want to know why removing the debris is a violation of the Shabbos, for that you have to see the Sugyan Erevin on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. But again, we're going to allow to do so for the possibility of saving a life, but only in the case of Damim Lo, only in that rare case of a father who breaks into his son, or perhaps if Rabbi Hanina Bar Shiloh would break into Rav, says, in those cases, we've been Fakeh Chalv Zagal, he's considered Chai. But your Stam, ordinary, run of the mill, Bobi Machteres burglar, who has the legal status of a dead man because we're allowed to kill him, then we would not violate the Shabbos in order to save his life, because al pidin halachically he's already considered mess. Ton Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa of a hukah. Normally the Torah would say vihikahu, which is an active verb, and he struck him. In other words, when the Torah wants to say that the Baal Bayis killed the Bava Machteres and he's not responsible for that, there's no accountability in the case, Ein Lo Domim, the Torah describes that case as Vehuka. He was struck. In other words, the emphasis here is on the Gavra, on the person who was struck. And not Vehikohu, and he, meaning the Baal Bayis, struck him. Why the emphasis here on Vehuka, and he was struck? And the Braisa darshins from this, Bechol Adam, that anyone is allowed to kill the Bava Machteres, not only the victim, not only the occupant of Balabayas, but anyone who's around is allowed to kill him. In other words, there was a Havamina here that the Bava Machteres is not exactly a Rodef. With regard to a Rodef, we definitely know the halach is clear that anyone can kill him. But here he's not exactly a road. If it's Habo Lahargacha, Hashkem Lahargo. Like, for example, let's say there are two people fighting with each other. So, you know, we don't want to get involved here. And the person who now is protecting himself and defending himself, he's allowed to kill his potential killer, the attacker. I don't know if that's a Rodef situation. If they're both running after each other in a boxing match, who's the Rodef, who's the Nirdaf? Here, too, I might have a Havamina that since the Bava Machteres is, at this point, he's not exactly a Rodev, he's Kir Rodev, but not exactly a Rodev, then the only person who's allowed to kill him is the Baal Bayis, who can confront him in order to protect his possessions, but not everyone else could kill him. And Kamash Balon, this is what the Braisa derives from Vahuka, that the Bava Machteres has a full-fledged status as a Rodef, and therefore anyone can kill him. Even so, the Rambam seems to say that anyone can kill him, they're not obligated to kill him. In the case of Atzolos HaNirdof, there's an absolute obligation. In the Pasuk Vehuka, it says Vehuka Vameis, and the Braisa continues by dashing the word Vameis, Bechol Misa Shateyochol HaMisa. That this ribui of Vameis means that you can kill him in any way that you have to. And Rashi understands that the Braisa is suggesting the following, that if you would say that only the Balabat, only if you would say, Rashi says, that that the tunnel should not be killed by striking, maybe there's a special method of killing him, then, for example, maybe if we can't put him to death in a specific way through striking from Hakkad, that maybe are we allowed to drown him? You don't have to kill the Baba Machteres by striking him. You could use any method that's necessary, because we're trying to save the Baal Bayis. So the Gemara says the following: Bishlema v'huka b'chol adam itzrich. Salkadait Ramina Balabayas, who de Kimle, Lahu di Ein Adam, Mamid Atzmo Alma Mono. As far as the Balabayas is concerned, he's allowed to defend himself and kill the Bava Machteres in self defense. Habolahog, Hashkem Lahog, and the reason for that is because there's no question that the burglar knew that he might have to confront the Balabayas, and if so, he prepares, he's resolved to kill the Balabayas if the Balabayas resists him. But the burglar never prepared himself and never came to any resolution that he would kill anybody else. He's only going to kill the Baal Bayis. So as far as some other person is concerned, why does he have to get involved, stick his nose in here, when there was never an intention to kill him? Kamash Malon, and that Pasuk Vehuka, that anyone can kill him, teaches me the Rodefu, that indeed the status of the Bob Materis is that of a Rodef, and therefore filu achir nami, even someone else is allowed to kill him, just like in the case of a Rodef, the Gemara is going to establish later on, one blot down the line, that anyone can kill the Rodef if the Rodef is pursuing someone in order to commit murder. Here too, we assume this, the Torah tells us to assume the status of a Rodef with regard to the Bob Materis. Now again, as I indicated before, it's not clear whether or not he, the Bava Matos, is a full-fledged Rodef, because I'm not sure in the normal case of a Rodef, Lo Samen Al Tamayacha, anyone is obligated to kill the Rodef to save the Nirdof, even though he himself is not the Nirdof, his life is not in danger. But in the case of a Bava Matos, are we insisting that anyone, even those who are outside of the bias, they too would be considered obligated to kill the Rodef because the Bob Mater is the Rodef with all the dinim of Rodef, or maybe it's just a heter, the Torah permits anyone to kill the Bob Mater, but it's not a full-fledged dinim of Rodef with a chiyuv to kill him. The Rambam discusses this. But getting back to the Braisa, Ela Vameis, now there's a special ribui of Vameis, Bechol Misa, Sha'ata Yochol Lehamiso, that you're allowed to kill the Bav Materis in any way, with any method of Miso that's necessary. Lomali, why do I need this? Mi Rotzeach Nafka, why don't we derive this from the case of Rotzeach? After Rotzeach is brought to trial with and he's condemned to die, at that point, although there's the Torah specifies which misa we kill him with, but any misa is okay if necessary, and that's derived from a pasuk. Disanya, we learned in the Braisa, most yumas hamake rotzeachi. So what's the most yumas? Eli el b'misa murabo. I would only know that the rotzeach is chayev sayef, which is the specified misas bezdin in the case of a rotzeach. How would I know that? Bezdin would have him executed in any way, even if it meant that they had to push him off the side of a river and kill him. That's the way they would kill him. If it's impossible to do sayev, they can shoot him or throw an arrow at him or a stone at him, whatever is necessary. Tamalom mos yumas, the double language of mos yumas, the extra pasuk mikoma come in any way. So why not equate the case of Bava Materis with the case of Rotzeach? Just like in the case of Rotzeach, we know that you can kill him in any way, if necessary, so too. In the case of Bava Materis, you're not restricted to that particular Misa of Hakah. So the Gemara answers, Shani Hosam. There, in the case of Rotzeach, the Omer Kro, we have a special pasuk, Mos Yumas, the double language. But we don't know that the same halach applies for Bava Materis, where there is no pasuk most yumas. You don't have a special ribui to teach you that you can kill the Bav Machteris in any way that you have to kill him. So Gemara says, wait a minute, v'nigmar, we have such a thing called a binyanav, and if the Torah tells us in the case of Rotzeach that you can kill him in any way that's necessary, it's impossible to kill him by sayif, so let's derive the case of Bav Machteris from the case of Rotzeach. And the Gemara answers, Mishum Davi Rotzeach v'gol Adam, we have a principle that the Torah teaches us the same chiddush twice. It comes to limit it to those two cases, and we cannot extrapolate to other cases. Here too, in the case of Bechol Misa Shateyochel Lahamis, we derive the conclusion that just like in Rotzeach we have a special limud, also in the case of Gol Adam, which means that if somebody kills somebody b'shogeg, then of course the Gol Adam is allowed to kill that Rotzeach b'shogeg if the Rotzeach didn't get to the Ermiklah. Outside the Ermiklah he's allowed to kill him. And what happens, this is a sugya in the Gemara, if there is no Gol Adam and Bezdin appoints a Gol Adam in the case where the victim has no close relatives and someone is designated as the designated Gol Adam, and the Torah tells us that in such a case you allow and you commission this Beis Din appointed Gol Adam, the designate of Beis Din, to kill him in any way he has to kill him. And there now are two different psukim in the Torah that teach us the same conclusion, that Atomemisa b'chol misa shtechol misa. And therefore we have a principle, ain't shteksum bom kecha, we need a special limud in the case of Bob Machteres from the pasuk von Meis. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa, Machteres ain't li ela b'machteres. The Torah specifies that the burglar dug his way in under the wall of the occupant's house. But gago v'chatzero v'karpifo minayin. There are many other ways that a burglar may have broken into the house. Let's say, for example, he set up a ladder and he climbed over the roof, and he was able to get into the house of the victim by climbing through the roof. Or, for example, there was a yard or there was a field, the door was open, he went through an open door. And how do we know even in that case he has the status of a bar b'machteres? How do we know that we assume that once he's burglarizing something, even if it was pretty easy, you know, it was relatively accessible to go through the open door and get into someone's house, you know, the people, unfortunately, they learn the hard way. They leave their doors unlocked without security and burglars come in. So how do we know that even such a burglar has the din of Bob Mater saying lo domim, Talmud Lomar, Yimotze Haganov. There's an extra pasuk that says Yimotze, which means the thief is discovered while he's tunneling in to burglarize. Mikol makom, in any way that he does it. So whether or not he tunneled through a wall or he came through the open door in the backyard, he's considered a Bob Machteres. And this is derived from the pasuk Yimotze Hagad, of a superfluous word. It could just have said, it could have said in b'machteres Yimotzehu or Yimtzeenu. Why did it say Yimotze Ha Ganov? Is the extra pasuk is coming to teach us that Enochinami, even if he found a different way to be a Ganov and he didn't go through the normal Bob Machteres route, he still can be killed. In Cain, so the Gemara says Matamad Lom Machteres. So why did the Torah have to confuse us and mislead us by telling us that he tunneled through underneath the wall? The nature rove ganov mitzuyim machteres. The classical case of a burglary is, or the common case, shall we say, is by tunneling in. The Torah always speaks about the normal case, divra akosuv behove. Tanya, either we have another brisa, machteres ein li ela machteres gago chatzero v'karpifo minayin. How do we know that the din of Bob Machteres applies even if he came through the backyard or he came through a field? Talmud Loma Yimotze Aganami Kol Makom. Im Kein Ma Talmud Loma Machteres Machteroso Zuhi Hasaroso. And according to this brisa, the reason why the Torah mentioned Machteres is not, as we said before, because of the common case of a burglar, but rather to teach me Halacha that there's no need for a hasra. Any other case where a person violates a capital crime, in order to put him to death, you need, as a precondition, that there was a hasra, he was warned, and he has to accept the hasra upon himself. That's called Kabbalah Vehetir Atzmo Lemi. So the exception to this case is the Bava Machteres. We don't need a hasra, but rather, if the Balabayas confronts the Bob Machteres, he can put him to death. Why? Because we're not dealing with a case of Beis Din and a corporal punishment for a capital violation, capital crime. We're talking about a person who breaks into your house and he knows that the Balabayas is going to protect his possessions and confront him. And basically, we don't require that the Balabayas say, look, you better be careful, I'm confronting you and I'm going to kill you. And the Bob Machteres has to respond, yeah, I know what your intention is, and if you try to resist, I'll kill you. We don't need all that discussion. You could just simply take the law into your own hands and kill him. And therefore, we don't require a hasra. Again, what's the difference between a classical case of a Bava Machteres? This is a sugya within a sugya. Katan Harodef, Now, this is strange. The question is whether cotton can also come under this category of ein lo domin, and you're allowed to kill him because he's a rodef. And it really depends upon how you view rodef. If you view rodef as a chiyuv, you know, he's a bar chiyuva, he deserves to die because he's a rodef, then that cannot possibly apply to a cotton. But if you learn that it's the mitzius, it's the shame rodef, then a cotton might have a shame rodef. Or alternatively, maybe it depends upon the old chakira, whether or not a cotton has a maisa vera. In any event, we're talking about a cotton who's a rodef. Rashi says, I don't know why, that he's rodef achar a cotton. He's running after another cotton to kill him. I don't know why that's relevant. Kosovar, the Gemara explains the underlying reasoning of Rav Huna. Rodef eino tzorech hasra, since we've already derived from the extra word machteres that there's no need for hasra, then in the case of a katan, even though he's a lav bar hasra, he could be put to death under the law of a rodef because there's no requirement of hasra. Loshna gadol, the loshna katan. Since we established that a rodef doesn't need a hasra, therefore a katan is also considered a rodef. And now we have a very, very famous piece of Gemara. Everybody knows this Gemara. Eisvei, Rav Chisda, Rav Huna. Rav Chisda asks the following question. Yotza Rosha. When a baby is born, and this is a Mishnah in Olos, in the 7th Perek, the Mishnah deals with the principle called Ein Dochin Nefesh B'pnei Nefesh. We don't kill one person to save another person. So we're not going to kill the baby to save the mother once the baby's head pops out, because then it's considered yalud, and ein nogin bo, and the baby is going to be born in a natural way, lefi shein dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh. If the baby hasn't popped its head out, and it's not considered a full-fledged, viable being, it's not a yalud, then in order to save the mother, we kill the fetus. But in this case, that the fetus is already born, halachically, because yotza rosho, therefore we let the birth process take its place, to take its natural course, and what happens to the mother is what happens to the mother. But ein dochin nefesh mei nefesh v'amai, why is this so rodefu? After all, this fetus is considered a rodef. And since Rav Huna established that a rodef is killed even if the rodef is a child, so here too, even though the fetus is a child, we'll kill the fetus in order to save the mother. So this halacha seems to be contradicting the principle of Rav Huna. Shiny Hassan, the Gemara says, the Mishamaya Karatfile. This is not a situation of a rodef. Even a shame rodef is absent here. A natural process of childbirth is taking place, and the Rambam is very famous for adding a few words to this Gemara to try to explain this Gemara. The Rambam says that although, as a general rule, we will kill a rodef in order to save the nirdaf, but here, in this case, the Rambam says, what the Rambam is saying, that there's no rodef here, you can't call him a rodef, even a shame rodef, because this is the natural process of childbirth. The baby is not considered a willful pursuer. In the case of a katan, he does have a shame rodef. He's involved in a rodef. So we're going to stop here. The Gemara is going to bring a proof to Rav Huna, name him Isayele, and this Amir Tz Hashem will pick up next time. I want to wish everyone a Chag Sameach.